שבוע טוב רבותיי, ברוכים הבאים. We are studying Sefer Tehillim. Tonight, Be'ezrat Hashem, we are going to learn the ninth perek, as many pesukim as we can, trying to understand some concepts. The first pasuk of the ninth perek is subject to great machloket amongst the mefarshim how to interpret it. Lamnaseach almut leben mizmor le David. Lamnaseach is the conductor, as we studied. He's the one that made the music. Mizmor le David, so it's a song of David. Those words everybody understands. It's the almut leben. What does it mean? On the death of Laban. What is this Laban that David is singing about? So, Rashi brings down different interpretations. Let's go through them quickly, see why he rejects them, and then adopt one approach, and then Be'ezrat Hashem will study the chapter. Rashi says, Yesh potrin almut Laban almet beno Avshalom. You want to say that it's on the death of the son, almut Laban. And which son is he referring to that died? It's referring to the death of Avshalom. Rashi dismisses this interpretation because he says then the pasuk should read Lam Naseach Almut Haben with a he, the son. He then brings another interpretation that is referring to Naval. Naval was one of the enemies of David HaMelech that did not offer him graciousness and hospitality when David needed it. As a result, the Kadosh Baruch Hu punished Naval, and he died. Where do you see in the word Laban, that's referring to Naval, so that she says it's Laban backwards. Laban backwards is Naval. That she rejects this interpretation for a few reasons. Number one, if the Pasuk wanted to write Naval, what do you have to write his name backwards for? Secondly, Naval was not such an enemy of David that David should have rejoiced in his death. Yeah, he didn't invite him for some food and so on and so forth. Maybe he didn't have a bakanat to talk to David HaMelech, but to pray or sing a song to rejoice in his death, that already is too much. He then brings another interpretation that there was a king that lived in his time, David's time, and his name was Laban. And he was a Rasha, and he was an antagonist of David. And when he died, David is Lamnaseach Almut Laban. Laban, that's his name, Laban, that's his name. So he died. So that she says, you're going to ask a question. Where do you see in the whole Tanakh Laban? This is a new character. We never see anybody by the name of Laban. So that she says, that's not a question. Says there's certain personalities that existed that the Torah doesn't mention them, and just because they're not mentioned doesn't mean they weren't around. Here he's mentioned, Tehillim, he's mentioned the first time, Almut Laban. All these interpretations obviously are difficult, and the reason why the chapters from the more difficult ones is because whatever interpretation you adopt, you have to try to read it throughout the whole chapter, and it becomes quite a challenge. Others want to say, that's the Radak, he says, Laban is Goliath. Almut Laban, because the Pasuk refers to Goliath as Ish HaBenayim, the man between them, which means he was the man amongst men. And therefore, David HaMelech is rejoicing on the death of Goliath Laban. That's another interpretation. Tonight, we are going to discuss the approach of the Al-Sheikh, which is yet a fifth interpretation to the Pasuk. See, it's not an easy book to read. Just to understand the subject is a challenge. Before you get the words and the meaning, we don't even know what it's talking about. Who's Laban? So the Al-Sheikh says like this. It is a reference to the son that David HaMelech had that died. Which son was that? when David HaMelech committed the crime on his level with Bathsheba. So Bathsheba had a child. The prophet Natan HaNavi predicted that that child is going to die, the first child from Bathsheba. The child was born. David HaMelech prayed and fasted and made all sorts of tikkunim in order to break the gezerah. Let me quote some of the pesukim. Vayomer Natan el David. It's a review of the Navi. Gam Hashem me'avir hatatecha lo tamut. First, Natan promises David, God is not going to punish you for this sin, and you're not going to die. He has forgiven you for the sin of Bathsheba. Efes, however, gam ben ha'yilod lecha mot yamut. But the son that is going to be born to you from this union is going to die. Vayelech Natan el beto. Natan goes home. The child became gravely ill. So David HaMelech starts to beseech God. He fasted. He slept on the floor. He tried to lift him off the ground. Velo bara itam lechem. Nor would he accept from them even bread to eat. Vehi bayom ha-shivi'i vayamot ha-yeled. After 7 days of David praying and beseeching and mourning, the child dies. Vehirihu aved David lagid lo kimet ha-yeled. They were scared to tell David HaMelech the bad news. Ki amiru, hine bihiyot ha-yeled hai. דיברנו אליו ולא שמע וקוננו. ואיך נאמר אליו, מת הילד, נעשה רעה. David couldn't listen to us when the child was still alive. You think he's going to listen to us? Now that the child's dead, if David was so filled with grief, and the child was still living, what's going to be now when we tell him that he didn't make it? So they didn't know how to break the news to David HaMelech, עליו השלום. David saw that his people were murmuring, they were discussing something. David understood that his son died. David al-Abadat, hamet hayeled? Did he die? Vayomeru met. They said yes. Vayakom David min ha'aretz. David gets off the ground. Vayirhat. He bathed himself. He anointed himself, he changed his clothes. He comes to the sanctuary. He bows in front of God. He says, all right, now I'll eat. Give me something to eat. So the servants were shocked at David HaMelech's reaction. Samta vatevk. The kasher met the yelid. Kamta vatoka lechem. When the child was alive, you fasted, you slept on the floor, you agonized. Now that the child's dead, now you're back to normal. Vayomer. Me'od hayelid chai. Samti vatevke. Ki amarti. Mi yodeya yichonen yashem mechai hayelid. When the child was alive, I said, maybe I could change the gezerah. Maybe through all my actions and good deeds, Borei Olam will reverse the gezerah. Ve'ata, met, but now he's dead. Lama ze anitzav, what am I going to gain by fasting? Ha'uchan la'shivot, can I return him? Can I resurrect him? It's over. This is the gezerah. So now Sheikh says, David wrote this chapter, singing, Lamnaseyah Almut Laben Mizmor Le David. That when the son died, David HaMelech said, I have to write a chapter praising God. And the question is obvious. The son dies and you're praising Borei Olam. What's to praise Borei Olam? This was not one of the enemies of David that perished, but one of his adversaries or foes. This is a son that he begot from Bathsheba, that Obviously, he wanted the son. He wouldn't have prayed a week straight if he wasn't caring for the son. Now the son dies, David HaMelech says, I'll get the music, get the conductor, get the instruments. Some want to say that, yeah, that al-mut is actually to be read as one word. Instead of al-mut, al-mut. That's a type of instrument. So he got the instruments out. And he starts singing a song on what? Al-mut labid? That his son died? How are we supposed to interpret this? Rav Shimshon Pinkus, Alev HaShalom, gives a brilliant interpretation to this chapter. He begins by telling us the secret behind the number 9. As we know, all the numbers in Yahadut, at least, have significance. Number 9, he says, is the number that represents life. Hayim. That's why 9 months is the gestation period in a lady in order for her to give birth to human life. 9, Tisha, Hamle Leda. That's the number of life. As a matter of fact, at every wedding, the Hatan tells the Kala, Hare at Mekudeshet li betaba'at zu kedat Moshe v'Yisrael. That's 9 words. Now Hakamim tell us, 9 words, 9 months. That since the whole purpose of getting married is not in front of the Mizvah Piru Urvu, so they established that the Amirah, the declaration that he says to his Kala should also be 9 words to allude to the fact that he's getting married in order to create and bring life into the world. This chapter over here that talks about Mut Laben, the death of David HaMelech's son, ironically, is the 9th chapter that talks about life. Also a question. If you're talking about Lamut Laben, why do you put in number 9? 9 is not the number of death, 9 the number is life. So he explains like this. The Gemara Berachot writes, God made a covenant with Am Yisrael. A covenant is when two people get together and they make a treaty, where there's a bond, where there's a certain agreement amongst two parties. A covenant, a treaty, is a good thing. It brings people closer. Whether it's two countries that are feuding, and a third party is able to come and be a broker, and is able to bring the two countries to peace, and they sign an agreement. This is a berit that brings shalom. So God also signed a berit with Klal Yisrael. Where's this berit? Where's this document? Which museum can I find this paper? And how does it bring us closer? So the Gemara says, well, first the berit is called berit Yisurim. It's called affliction. This is a new type of peace treaty that we never heard of before. Borei Olam comes along and says, I make a deal with you, Klal Yisrael. From time to time, I'm going to give you hardship. I'm going to make life difficult for you. I'm going to give you difficult situations. And those situations are called Yisurim, and you should know that's the treaty I'm making with you. I'm not going to make that with the Goyim. And we ask, what kind of treaty is that? That's a milchama, that's a war. The Rekalev Baruch Hu says, no, through the Yisurim, you get closer to me. What's the pshat? So I'll explain it to you like this. When things are going good in a person's life, he doesn't appreciate anything. He takes it for granted. He forgets that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving him all these gifts. He takes life for granted. Everything is expected. Everything is coming to him. Everything is forgiven. Given, meaning he's deserving of it. He forgets that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him all these matanot. A simple thing. A person cuts his nails. Happens sometimes when you cut your nails b'chabot Shabbat. So you're rushing. So sometimes you cut your nail a little shorter than you wanted to. Okay, now you finish cutting your nails. You're making it to that yadayim.
B'ri Beracha. Now you go put on your shirt. And you can't get the button in the hole because your finger, the nail is too short and it hurts. Every time the button touches the skin, so you have to figure out another way with another nail, with another finger to try to... And you take a cigarette and you say, wow, I don't believe it. This little 1 millimeter of fingernail, look how useful it is. Look how much benefits I get from it. Then you go, you try doing something else, you try to scratch yourself, you open the door and it bangs against it. And you start to realize how many different contacts this little piece of finger has, and how that little millimeter of nail really saves you from a lot of hardships. Only when it's taken away from us, then do we realize the gift. Person has a headache, Barmanan. Right. So, he starts to realize, Tabashima, what does it mean to not have a headache? God gave me my head, it works 99% of the time, Baruch Hashem, without problems. So the Yisurin remind us of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it brings us closer. So today they made an anti-breed. The anti-breed is called Tylenol. The person has a headache now, so that's it. They made a system, you can take it, you forget the headache anymore. So what does it mean you forget the headache? You forget the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the old man didn't have these quick remedies. So a person would go through a headache, he would remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so good to me, he gives me all these things. But God says, you're forgetting. So let me take it away for a couple of days. And all of a sudden, all day long, you say, Yishtabach Shemo La'ad, God, I love you. You start to pray to him, you start to ask him. So the Yisurin actually bring a person closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is for sure. So we say like this. Person has children. Children are a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Many times we take our children for granted. Especially those of us that were able to have children easily. There's some people that have to go through great hardship. In vitro, fertilization, difficulty, doctors, etc. They might appreciate their children a little more than the regular. But the majority of people, they try to have children, they have children. 9 months later, baby comes out. They want to have more children. When they're ready, more children come out. And therefore, they take it as a normal law of nature. And the children are young. Children are supposed to be healthy when they're young. There's no disease in children, by and large. They'll live a full life. And therefore, everything is taken for granted. Let a child become sick. Let a child become gravely ill. Now, all of a sudden, you start to appreciate what it means, children. So, it's not an automatic that the children are going to be healthy and live 120 years old and life is going to go, they're going to get married and have children and everything's going to go smooth. She says, oh, this is something new. It's going to do. The child can get sick. The child's going to the hospital. All of a sudden, you gain greater appreciation, not for the sick child alone, for the ones that are living. A parent now goes to the child that's alive and healthy, hugs him and places him. That child, what happened to that? Why all the affection all of a sudden? I appreciate you. You appreciate me? Yeah, because I realize that you're a gift from God. I don't deserve you. That it can be taken away at any moment. And therefore, David HaMelech, when his son died, David HaMelech had other children. But David HaMelech sang a song, Lam Naseya Halmut Laben Mizmor Le David, because now through the Yisurin of the death of his son, he came to appreciate life. The number 9. He came to appreciate the living. Now he looked at his other children, he said, I don't take you for granted as much as I did maybe before. Now I realize, in one moment, Hashem could take you away from me. And therefore, he had a renewed attitude, a fresh attitude towards the blessing of his life. This is worthy to sing. When a person gets sick and he recovers, he has to make a beracha. Hagomer l'chayavim tovot shegamalani kol tov, et l'halakha shukhan aruch. According to Maran shukhan aruch, even if you're sick for one day in bed, you get out of bed, you have to make a beracha. So somebody said, what's the beracha mean? Rabbi, God, you did me a good favor. You got me better. So the guy says, what do you mean? I wish you didn't get me sick. What kind of business is this? Somebody comes along and punches me in the face. And after he punches me in the face, he gives me a band-aid. So I have to get up in the front of the shul. Baruch, thank you very much for giving me a band-aid. Hey, I wish you didn't punch me in the first place. Who asked you for a band-aid? Don't punch me, don't give me a band-aid. How could you make this better? Thank you, Borei Olam, you made me better. Hey, but you're the one that made me sick. And the explanation, you know, we're thanking Borei Olam. It's because, I'm not thanking you that I got sick. Yeah, Ba'alim Musar explained it that way. Once we explained it that way also, I'm thanking you that I got sick. But that's a different shmul. That's for another class. I'm thanking you, Borei Olam, because when I was sick, I got closer to you. Because when I got sick, I started to appreciate when I'm healthy. Now that I'm healthy, I'm thanking you now that I'm healthy. Because every day we can't thank God for our health because we don't appreciate it. But now that I was just sick, now I'm able to really appreciate what I have because you took it away from me temporarily. Therefore, the Birkat Gomel has to come right after a mahala, right after a sickness. You're not thanking God for when you were sick. I don't want to be sick. But you know what? The sickness has a silver lining in it. Because now when it's over, I appreciate all those days that I wasn't sick. And I'm thanking you. Hey, how come you didn't thank God before you got sick? Because that's the nature. When we're not sick and everything's going good for a period of time, it's coming to me. This is Teva, Teva Olam. Why should I thank God? He gave me my body, it's got to work, it's got to function. When it stops functioning like it should, then also say, well, you know what? I'm a little naive. It doesn't always work out like it's supposed to be. That's the brief of the Yisurim. Lam naseya halmut laben, Mizmor and David. David HaMelech lost his son. And then he comes along and says, get out the instruments. Get out the instruments? There's also, like avilut. Get out the music. Get out the band. Why? Because I have to sing for all the other children that I still have. Similarly, the holiday of Purim, which Bezat Hashem is right around the corner. Purim is the last holiday of the year, Adar, and it's actually the ninth holiday. If you count from Nisan to Nisan, count the holidays of the year, you'll see Purim is number 9. Based on tonight's lesson, we can understand it. On Purim, what was the miracle? Haman came along and made a decree, Lashmid, Laharog, Ulabed, et kol ha-Yehudim. He's going to destroy all Klal Yisrael. Now I want you to know that this was not a bluff. Haman had intention, and he was going to do it. And he had the capability to do it. He had the ring of the king, and he had the funding to do it. And there was a gezerah, and it was a clear path. If it wasn't for the fact that Mordechai at Tzaddik and Esther Malkah fasted for 3 days, 3 nights, and all their efforts, it was going to happen. Otherwise, we wouldn't be celebrating Purim as a miracle. If it wasn't going to happen, if the whole thing was a bluff, they say, it was all just make-believe. So what are you celebrating now? The pshat is yes, chas v'shalom. Obviously, got to a situation where there would be no more crisis. What does it mean, no more Klai Yisrael? No more Klai Yisrael. Goodbye. Game over. And we believed it. The Jews in that generation believed it. They didn't say, anti-Semitism, that's okay, we'll get out of it. No, they were scared. They really believed that it was over. And after their efforts, and Haman is hung on the tree, the rabbis believed it so much that they said, we've got to make a holiday for this. This is unprecedented. That all our nation, there's not a Holocaust. Holocaust was European Jewry. It wasn't the Inquisition. Inquisition is Spanish Jewry. This was world Jewry. Sheva ve'asimu me'am medina me'hodu v'adkush. It's the entire world. It's European, it's Spanish, it's Tibetan. Everybody. All the Jewish people under one dominion, under one rulership. Never in our history was there such a grave gezerah like the gezerah Baban. And all of a sudden, through the efforts of the fast and the praying, the gezerah was overturned. You know what the celebration of Purim is? The celebration of life, number 9. That we're alive as a nation. Don't take it for granted. You take it for granted. That is fine, Israel. So if the Jews in Europe are getting persecuted, so we got Jews in America. Everybody's fine. There's always be Jews in the world. Like the Gemara said, just like the world can't exist without wind, the world cannot exist without Jews. We take it for granted that Jews are always going to be. So more Jews in this place, less Jews in that place. These guys getting persecuted. There's a pogrom over there, but there's always somewhere else in the world where Torah will continue to exist. Purim, we're reminded that's not a given. Because we came this close to being wiped off the map. And therefore the holiday Purim reminds us again, our existence as a nation should not be taken for granted. So when you come up Purim and you're eating and you're drinking and you're physically enjoying yourself, you know what the Kavanah is supposed to be? Borei Olam, the fact that I'm alive, I thank you for that. Layhudim hayta ora v'simcha v'sason v'ikar. I once said a pshat. The Gemara is Doresh. Layhudim hayta ora. Ora zut ora. Ora v'simcha. Simcha zu yom tov. Sason zu mila. Vikar elu tefilin. And that pasuk is alluding to all the good mitzvot that we have. Simcha, sason, vika, ora. Only one thing. To fulfill all these mitzvot, you need Jews. If you don't have Jews, all these mitzvot don't mean anything. If you don't have life, what's the ora, simcha, sason, vika? Go to the altar, yag mitzvot. So the pasuk begins. First, la Yehudim haita. First, it has to be Yehudim. Once there's Yehudim, then Norah, Sumaz, and Sumaz, and Sumaz. And that's the miracle of Purim. La Yehudim Haita. Jews existed. So you say, well, of course, right, Jews existed. Peshita, not Peshita. It's got to be taken away from us. And then you say, wow, unbelievable. Which means if we're existing in America today, and we're alive, and there's no gezerot against us, you can't just say, Malchut Shel Chesed, America, that's the way it is, democracy, we have a Declaration of Independence, the Founding Fathers, this is the way the country was founded, pluralistic society. Can't take it for granted. The existence of Klal Yisrael, it's a miracle. La Yehudim Hayta. And you don't have to wait till it's almost taken away from us to thank Borei Olam. Similarly, we can carry this point to the holiday of Hanukkah. Hanukkah is a different hakaratatov, a different thanks, a different appreciation. Am Yisrael was not in physical danger during the times of Hanukkah. There the danger was of a spiritual element. The Yevanim, the Mityavnim, the Greek, the Hellenist, they tried to assimilate our nation. They took away Shabbat, Rosh Chodesh, Milah. They took away some essential mitzvot that our nation stands on. They came so close, the Mityavnim. We say it in our prayers. L'shakehan Toratach. They wanted Torah to be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. The Ramban writes in his commentary that if it wasn't for Hashmonai, Ubanav, if it wasn't for Matatyahu and a few good tzaddikim, Torah hayta nishkahat me'am Yisrael. Torah would have been forgotten from Klal Yisrael. L'shakehan Torah me'amenu. Digest what I just told you. What do you mean, Shtakhat Torah? You can't have a situation, Shtakhat Torah. Jews would have existed. You would have Jews. I mean, the guy's last name would be Goldberg, and the guy's name is Cohen. Jews you would have had. But there would be a world of Jews without Torah. You say, what are you talking? It doesn't get exist.
I understand there's conservative, there's room, but there's always Jews with mitzvot. You're always going to have. Hanukkah comes and tell you, hey, take that for granted, it's not so pashut. We came this close of having Jews in the world without Torah. Only with great amount of divine mercy, it turned. And the rabbis made a holiday for this. Why? Because it wasn't a bluff. If it was a whole bluff, so what do you make it a holiday for? How can we believe it was going to happen? So Hanukkah is really a national Birkat HaGomel. We appreciate the fact that we can come with Shabbat to the synagogue and talk the Vrei Torah in public and video it and audio it and take notes and publish it. This is not something to be taken for granted. It's possible there can be a world and God can take away the whole thing. You have to celebrate that. But you only celebrate it when you get to, when you're at the verge of losing it. Then you say, okay, Hashem, sorry, I was a little delinquent. I didn't realize that. I thought this was an unalienable right. This is like, liberty and freedom, the pursuit of happiness. It's a part of the game. No, it's not so pashut. Lost it. That's Hanukkah. So that's the appreciation that we learn from this first professor. What a musar we learn for ourselves. Now, this doesn't mean you can't thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu before he takes it. Once heard from one of my rabbis, you can beat the system. If you appreciate it before he takes it away, then you don't need the brit of Yisurin. The brit of Yisurin is only for the people that are sleeping at the wheel. So God has to shake you up. Oh, you don't know what you have. But if a person is able to know what he has before he has a headache, then God says he doesn't need the Yisurin. He's close to me without it. So that's a musar for us. You don't have to wait to appreciate your children. You have to preach your children, appreciate your children now when they're healthy, Bezat Hashem. You have to appreciate your health when you have your health, not when it's taken away. You have to appreciate life when you still have it. We go further. David HaMelech says, Odeh Hashem bechol libi. I will thank Hashem with all my heart. At this point, David HaMelech says, I'm going to thank Hashem with all my heart for all the goodness you gave to me. Asapera kol nifleotecha. I will proclaim all the wondrous deeds. Only when he lost something that he had, now we can thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the wondrous deeds. V'al nisecha shebechol yom imanu v'al nifleotecha shebechol ayet ha'erev ha'bokeh v'sa'orayim. But there might be another interpretation why David was thrilled and sang mizmor when his son died. Natan HaNavi prophesied two things. Natan HaNavi told David after he committed the sin, Gam Hashem he'avir hatatecha lo tamut. Number one, you will not die. God has spared you and has forgiven you. Number two, the son that is going to be born to you from Bathsheba, he is going to die. When David HaMelech saw that the second prophecy came true, he said, now I'm sure that the first prophecy is going to come true also. Which means Natan HaNavi's words were accurate. Until the first son died, David HaMelech says, how do I know God's going to forgive me? The second thing that he said didn't happen. But once he saw that Natan HaNavi's words were with precision, so he says, that's what he said, Gam Hashem Ya'avir Hatatecha Lo Tamut. So it was consoling. He knew that God had forgiven him, had forgiven him. The next pasuk says, Esmecha ve'ilsa bach azamera shimcha alyon. I will rejoice and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name most high. The pasuk that talks about
simcha, that talks about happiness. The Midrash writes that there are 10 words for happiness. You want the words? Gila, Sisa, Simha, Rina, Isha, Sahola, Elsa, Elza, Hidva, Tiru'a, Isha, Sason. 10 words. One expert in language, linguist, he did a study, and he said in no language do they have more expressions for happiness than the Jewish language. And each word is a different type of happiness. The Gaon of Vilna explains what's the difference between Sason and Simcha and Chedva. Every word means something else. Open up a thesaurus, you'll see happiness, they give you 2 or 3 entries. That's it. Because our religion is based on what? Simha. To reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu through different forms of happiness. Now, where does Simha come from? Let me give you a klal. The klal is like this. Whenever a person attaches themselves to life, that's where they'll find simcha. God is life. We call God Elohim Hayim. And therefore, when one does mitzvot, it automatically brings them to simcha. I'm not talking about simcha Bozo the clown, where you walk around frolicking in the street with an orange wig and a big red nose. That's not simcha. That's just anut. That's joking around. That's simcha, which means you feel completion, contentment. Contentment can only come when the soul is content, when you attach yourself to the Torah and the mitzvot, which means the Tariyat mitzvot are different paths to reach simcha, because you're attaching yourself to Elohim Hayim. And where does depression come from? Depression comes from sin. It is the sin that causes depression. That's why children are always happy. You ever notice children are always happy? What does it mean they're always happy? It doesn't mean they don't cry. I want a lollipop. But they're happy. That doesn't mean they're depressed. They're happy with life. They have no problems. They're just happy, happy. Kids are happy. Why? Because they have no sins. All the sins go to their parents. So the parents have problems. The children are happy. Why? Because they're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by default. When a person wakes up sometime, he doesn't feel, he feels his neshama's gnawing at him. His neshama feels a vacuum. That's because there's Averot. And the Averot create a barrier between what we call Ha'arat Panim. Ha'arat Panim is what we pray in Birkat Konim. Ya'er Hashem Panav Elecha. God gives you Ha'arat Panim. How do you zochet to this Ha'arat Panim? When you do the mitzvot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you Harat Panim. And when you have the Harat Panim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no simcha greater than that. It's an addiction. It becomes a drug. But when you have Hester Panim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns away, then the Shema feels a great void and a great vacuum. And that's where the depression sets in. And that's why there's so many expressions of simcha. Because there's so many different ways to reach simcha. Torah, avodah, gemilut chasadim. There's so many facets in Judaism where a person could work out to reach simcha. And that's the key, avodah. Everybody in the world is looking for simcha, but nobody has it. They're looking for happiness. When you see people at a party, and they're dancing, and they're eating, and they're smoking, and they're drinking, and they're smiling. That's not simcha. That's called ta'ava. There's a big difference between simcha and ta'ava. Ta'ava is lust. Ta'ava is indulgence.
when a person sits at a hearty meal and he's pressing and he's eating and he's devouring and he's involved in gluttonous behavior, he's guzzling down beer and he's wolfing down his seuda, that's not Ishmael, he's thrilled. That's ta'ava, that's not simcha. And I'll tell you the trick of ta'ava, the secret of ta'ava. Ta'ava is an escape. An escape. Because when there's no simcha, you don't know what to do with yourself. So you need to feel good. So how do you feel good? You eat something. You drink something, puts in a different frame. You go put on loud music and you dance. It's to forget that you're depressed. So you can go to a party and you see everybody jumping and flying and dancing. You say, what a bunch of depressed people, a bunch of morbid people, a bunch of pathetic souls over here. They're so upset and they're so depressed that they're looking for an escape. Because once it wears off, they're back to their depression. That's why today in this world there's so much addiction, because there's so much depression. Because there's no simcha. Because it's hard to reach simcha. That young mitzvah is not easy. It's not easy to attach yourself to life. What do you think today? Young marrieds, they don't want to have children. Why don't they want to have children? Tadha. Tadha. Think it's so easy to have children? You have to sacrifice, you have to tend to them, you have to teach them, and so on and so forth. But what did I tell you the rule is? Where does simcha emanate from? Your attachment to life. Somebody that decides not to have children, you're detaching yourself away from life. Again, they're doing it as tada, because they want to enjoy. But the real enjoyment comes from the children. With all the effort and all the work, is there any greater simcha? When a father and a mother see their children develop and grow up, we talk about nachat. There's no greater feeling when a parent is able to marry off a child. That's the greatest simcha. It's a double simcha. I'll explain to you why. Number one, you see the accomplishment. You were able to raise your child, now bring him to this plateau. But you're now bringing him to a level now where he can now continue to perpetuate himself. I'll explain it to you. We said this the other night in one of the shiurim, and it's a fantastic interpretation. Shlomo HaMelech says, Tov lalechet lebet avel, velechet lebet meshteh. It's better to go to a house of mourning, Barmanan, than to go to a wedding. Why? Because when a person goes to a Bet Avel, you're confronted with what life is all about. Life is about our mortality. Life is about our death. And you have a perspective, what we're here for. And it reminds you not to get caught up and wrapped up in all the frivolities of life and the trivialities of life. So you have a choice. Go to a funeral, you go to a wedding, you'll get more out of the funeral. So the question is asked, Shlomo HaMelech, I got your point. But you're not comparing apples with apples. Which means, you don't tell me that it's better to eat apples than it is to eat glass. What's the connection? Of course, it's connecting apple and glass. It's glass. If you want to compare something, say, you know what? It's better to eat the Macintosh apple than the Winesap apple. Oh, so it's two apples, they're similar. So I'm telling you, this is better than that, but it's apples and apples. I don't come along and tell me, better to go to a funeral than a wedding? My kids should go to a funeral to a wedding. What's the connection?
that he has, I mean, there's a connection between, a wedding's a wedding and a funeral is a funeral. There's no kesher between them. So David HaMelech says, Shalom's putting him on the table. Here are your options. This and this, you'll gain more out of the funeral. Totally different item.
Sorry, it's a beautiful explanation.
It's not. Funeral and the wedding have a common denominator. And what is that? First it goes to funeral, it's clear. Mortality of human beings. Let me ask you a question. First it goes to a wedding. Why is there such a great mitzvah to get married? Why does the world place such importance on marriage? I'll tell you why. You know why there's such importance? So the young couple can have children. I ask you the next question. Why is it so important that they have children? The explanation is because nobody lives forever. The parents are not going to live forever. And therefore, if their children don't get married, their family is not going to perpetuate. Marriages also remind us of our mortality. If we live forever, what are you going to get married for? We need more people in the world. There's enough traffic in the streets. There's enough overcrowding in the city. But the explanation is, we're not going to live forever. And if we don't make ceremonies to perpetuate the species, there's not going to be a species again. And therefore, when a person is thinking straight, when he goes to a wedding, he also remembers, oh, I'm not going to live forever. There was one rabbi that had a custom in the Gemara, when he would go to weddings, he'd sing a song. And what was the song he used to sing? Vailand de Mitnan, Vailand de Mitnan. This was the song he used to sing. Chavad Hakam. Pizvon for the Hatan de Kala. Whoa, we're going to die. Whoa, we're going to die. What kind of song is this? Is this a wedding song? You couldn't have any more positive lyrics than that. Whoa, we're going to die. Whoa, we're going to die. And the explanation is the rabbi had very clear vision. When he was at a wedding with some of the Botan, what are we doing here? Why are we making such a party? Why is everybody b'simcha? We're so happy because there's going to be a perpetuation of the species. You know why? Because we're going to die. And therefore we're happy that Baruch Hashem, this young couple got married. Humanity will continue to exist long after we're gone. So the wedding is also an expression of the temporary status of human beings. So Vailan de Mitnan is not inappropriate. That's why, side point, invariably, when you go to a wedding, the Chatan marches down, and there's not a dry eye in the crowd. Everybody's crying. Not only the mother and the father and the grandparents, everybody's crying. And you ask everybody, you sad? I'm not sad, I'm happy. So you're happy, what are you crying for? It's one of the only ceremonies where happiness expresses itself with tears. When you're happy, you smile, what are you crying for? And the explanation is because when the neshama sees the Hatam the Kala getting married, it senses its mortality. So on one end it's very happy, but in its core it's saying, Vailand de Mitnan, Vailand de Mitnan, so it's tough to cry. Just like you cry at a funeral. Because you're reminded of the same thing, and that's what Shlomo HaMelech was saying. A funeral and a wedding basically is the same item. It's not an apple and an orange. It's apples and apples. But he's just saying, you'll be better off at a funeral because then you see it clearly. At a wedding, you got to come with the thumbs and the open pool and the perpetuation of the species. You got to come with a whole dessert to not understand it. You have to have the rabbi standing on the table, Vailan de Mitan. At a funeral, you don't got to sing Vailan de Mitan. It's obvious. So Shlomo HaMelech was saying, you're better off there than you're over there. But that's where Simcha is. Simcha manifests itself or involved at a wedding with his life. Where we're celebrating more life that's coming in the world. That's the true simcha that we strive for, that we crave. Not the simcha of ta'ava, of lust, where we use it in order to cover our problems. And therefore it's impossible. One cannot read simcha unless he's a religious Jew. It's a bold statement. Unless you're fulfilling tariyag mitzvot, and the more you fulfill it, the more happy you'll be. I know this for a fact. Go to Eretz Yisrael. I was just there. I visited some of the greatest rabbis of the generation. You look at the way they live, and you can't imagine how they can exist in a small little apartment, outdated furniture, a very meager existence. They make a little padnasa, they sell their books, whoever wants to buy it. They really have no luxuries. Very limited physical existence. They just sit in front of a lectern with a book, and they learn, they read, they pray. And one thing that I noticed is a common denominator between all Gedolei Yisrael. You look at them and they have a certain happiness, a certain contentment. And the proof of the pudding is everybody goes to them and unburdens their problems on them. And you think to yourself, I have a big house, Baruch Hashem, I have cars, bank accounts, I travel, we go, we have. They don't have any of that. If anything, he should be coming to us. Look what I got. I have a table that's shaking like a lulav. I have a light bulb hanging from the sockets. What do I eat every night? I don't go to a restaurant. I have a couple of scrambled eggs. And you're coming to me with your problems? And the explanation is because once you're connected to Torah, they're happy. All that other stuff doesn't mean anything to them. We need all that other stuff to cover up our depression. So we need a lot of digression and diversions and hobbies. They don't need any of that. Because when you're attached to the book, when you're attached to the Torah, when you're attached to the mitzvot, you're attached to Elohim Chaim. And when you're attached to Elohim Chaim, when you're attached to the source of life, you have Harat Panim. And when God shines His countenance on a human being, and God smiles at a human being, there's nothing more that a person needs. And that's what David HaMelech says. Ismehave el sabach. You know what the source of my happiness and my rejoicing is? Bach is in you. And Zamirah Shemcha Alyon. And that's why I will sing and I will praise you. These are the lessons. Look how rich the Tehillim is. I don't know how many Pesukim we did tonight. You got gypped. You came for a class, you sat for an hour, we only discussed 3 Pesukim. We didn't get anywhere tonight. But look at the value. Look at the Musarim. It's the 3 Pesukim. And you shouldn't think for a second. But boy, the rabbi is being Doresh over here. David HaMelech had all this in mind. You shouldn't think that we're using the words of David HaMelech to talk about other subjects. David HaMelech had all this kavana when he wrote these words. All this Divrei Torah, we get it from David HaMelech. The words themselves. This was the intent of the author. Yishtabach Shemo La'ad. We pray to Borei Olam. We shouldn't have to meet the Kadosh Baruch Hu with this Brit Yisurin. We should recognize the Brit without the Yisurin, before it comes to us, but we still have our blessings. We should be able to make Birkat HaGomel without literally making it, but having the attitude of Birkat HaGomel before we get sick. So we don't have to get us sick to make a Birkat HaGomel. We should appreciate the value of our lives. Secondly, this is the second pasuk. The third pasuk. We must appreciate what true happiness is. And true happiness is only a result of tariyag mitzvot, of keeping the mitzvot. And depression is a result of sin. We must remind ourselves of our immortality and that nobody lives forever. And we mustn't take even our existence in a physical and a spiritual sense for granted. Those are the holidays of Hanukkah and Purim. And with this, Be'ezat Hashem, we'll be able to have a simcha and sason and all the other 8 expressions. We'll be able to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu like David HaMelech said in a later chapter, Evdu et Hashem, Mesichach, Shavua Tom Borach.